Welcome back. I'm Michael Carey, the moderator of this year's running program. Thank you for joining us as we hear from the legislative candidates running for seats throughout South Central Alaska. Joining me tonight are Dacia Eaton of KSKA Radio and Kyle Hopkins of the Anchorage Daily News. Now let's meet the candidates for Senate District M. They are Democrat Betty Davis and Republican Anna Fairclough. Betty Davis, you'll go first with an opening one-minute statement.
Thank you very much. First of all, I'll say thanks for having us here again, KAKM. I'm Senator Betty Davis, and I'm serving now in District K. The new district for me is District M. For the last 10 years, I have represented the east side of Anchorage. With the change in the structure this year, should I win the seat, I would be representing part of Eagle River and part of East Anchorage, which means one of my house districts would be in Anchorage and one would be in Eagle River. For those past 10 years that I've been in the Senate, the last 6 years I've been able to be a part of a working group that we refer to as a working group, which is a bipartisan coalition. I believe that coalition has been very beneficial to me and to the general public because we've done some amazing things working together. I'm running for my seat again because I feel that I have many things that I would like to continue my work on, particularly in the areas of health care and education. And so, therefore, I will be running for this seat, hoping that I will be able to convince you that I am the right candidate. Thank you.
Thank you. Anna Fairclough, 1 minute.
Thank you very much. I'm Anna Fairclough, candidate for Senate District M. For the last 6 years, I've served in Alaska's legislature representing Eagle River. Currently, I serve on the House Finance Committee and have taken up several issues important to all of Alaska, most specifically fiscal planning. Alaska has a bright future in front of us, but we need to take care of our fiscal house. We need to put that house in order. We have great opportunities on the North Slope to access riches for Alaska, but we need to do those responsibly. I've worked on child protection issues as a former executive director of Standing Together Against Rape and now a current development director at Hospice of Anchorage. I care about our community and the services that we believe, that each of us believe in. I'd appreciate your vote on November 6th, and I look forward to the questions this evening.
Okay, now we'll turn to our reporter questions. The candidate who's asked will have 45 seconds to respond, and the opponent will have 30 seconds to comment on what you've heard from the other candidate. Let's start with Dacia Eaton, your first question for Betty Davis.
Senator Davis, you've done a lot for children over the years while you served in the legislature, working on legislation such as Denali Kid Care and other legislation supporting education. What do you have left to do in Juneau? Will you work on the same sorts of things or other things?
It's sad to say that many of the things that I've worked on over the period of years are still things that have to be worked on again, particularly when you refer to Denali Kid Care. I passed that bill a couple of years ago, a section ago. It passed both houses, bringing it up to 200%. The governor vetoed it. And so, therefore, that piece of legislation have not gotten back through both houses again. So that would be one of the pieces of legislation I would be working on. Okay. As far as education, there's always new things to do in education. So,
Anna Fairclough, 30 seconds.
I'm sorry. Education in the legislature, I think education is very important. Our budget is based on $106 a barrel, 24/7, 365 days a year. So anything that we're doing with regards to education, health and human services, or planning for our future, we need to look at how we're going to pay for those and how we're going to sustain them into the future.
Thank you. Kyle Hopkins.
Ms. Davis mentioned the governor's veto of money to expand Denali Kid Care. This question is for Ms. Fairclough. Did you support that veto?
I supported the bill for Denali Kid Care to increase
and
the limits.
Was it a mistake to veto the money?
The governor, you'd have to talk to the governor about a mistake. There wasn't enough will in the legislature to override the veto. It didn't get brought back before the legislature. Specifically, I'm concerned about abortion being funded in the bill, if that's where you're going. And so I believe that we have a compromise bill that's looking at young women, and that was before the legislature in the Senate this last legislative session, trying to address the concerns that the governor had expressed.
Betty Davis, 30 seconds.
Yes, I was disappointed because the House refused to take a vote. They didn't even take a vote to see if they wanted to overturn the governor's veto. We did take a vote on the Senate side, but it takes both parties coming back together in order to make that happen. So for that reason, I still feel that my opponent that's running for my seat at this present time, I don't think she did anything to push for that vote to take place, even though she said that she supported the bill.
Let's go to Daisha Eaton once more.
Ms. Fairclough, what is your view of the governor's oil tax bill, House Bill 110, and how did you vote on that?
I supported HB 110. It was a conversation starter, we thought, in a conversation about Alaska's future and what we should do to modify ACES. ACES has done a great job on bringing explorers into Alaska, but it hasn't done a good job on the production side as far as bringing production online and increasing throughput and taps.
Betty Davis, 30 seconds.
It is true that the House did pass a bill, 110. It was very tight margin because it only had two over what it takes to pass the bill. The bill came to us late in the year. We did not work on that particular bill, but we did do another bill that we were able to send over to them, but they didn't have the proper time to complete their work on it. So therefore, nothing passed. But 110, the way it has been introduced, and if it had passed, we would be paying $2 billion with a B, $2 billion.
We're going to go back to Kyle Hopkins for his next question.
Ms. Davis, you mentioned that Eagle River would be a new constituency for you. Ms. Fairclough has represented Eagle River, you know, on the Assembly. Can you tell me one issue maybe that you're hearing from Eagle River or constituents that is a problem in Eagle River specifically that you would want to address in the Senate?
I really don't know all the problems that they have in Eagle River, but I'm listening to what their concerns are, and they probably won't be much different from what they are on the east side of town as far as that, but there are certain projects and things that they'll be asking for money to come into those projects, or if there's issues that they have. I have represented part of Eagle River before, but it was when I was on the House side way back in the 90s. But at this present time, the way the bill is done, the half district would be there in Eagle River, one would be in Anchorage, and it's going to be difficult, but it can be done. I think it's a good thing for the Eagle River area because they have spread them out over the years in two or three districts rather than just a House district in Anchorage and one in Fairbanks.
Okay, Ms. Fairclough, 30 seconds.
Thank you. My opponent and I participated in a community forum in Eagle River where almost all of the candidates sang in unison about the problems and what we thought was our most important issue. That issue is the economy for Alaska and jobs, and how we make sure that future generations have jobs and employment opportunities in Alaska was very succinct. Almost all candidates said it. The economy is important, and we have to address the competitiveness of our oil tax production in Alaska.
Daisha Eaton.
This is for Ms. Fairclough. Concerning school vouchers, should we be funding through public money, charter schools, private schools, and parochial schools?
Good question. Thank you. Two different points that I'd like to make a distinction of. There was a bill in front of the Alaska's legislature this session that I voted yes for that would provide funding to follow a student, and some people are trying to label that as a voucher program. In addition to that, we increased money for education in the classroom in the typical or what some would see as the norm of K through 12 funding. So yes, I support some money following students, and I voted that way in the House of Representatives. But in addition to that, I've chaired the K through 12 budget committee for 2 years, as well as the university budget committee for four, and a big supporter of education and maintaining quality education in a classroom.
Do you support a constitutional amendment to allow those monies to follow students?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Betty Davis, 30 seconds.
Well, first of all, I just want to go on the record that I do not support a constitutional amendment in order to take public funds to give it to private and parochial schools. It's not necessary that we do that, so I would not support that. And I'm sorry that my opponent feel that way about it. We do have schools of choice. We don't have enough. I served on the school board for 12 years, and I know very well what we have in the district. There should be more. I'm the one that introduced the charter bill to this state. I was on the House side at the time that I passed it. So I have a good understanding about what people's concerns are.
We're going to again have to leave it there. Excuse me.
Okay.
We'll go back to Kyle Hopkins.
This question is for Ms. Davis. Let me ask about a different constitutional amendment. The AFN convention was over the weekend. They are seeking a constitutional amendment that would provide a Alaska Native priority for hunting and fishing, subsistence hunting and fishing. Do you agree or disagree that the Constitution should be amended to allow Alaska Natives to hunt, to get the first crack at hunting and fishing on state land?
First, let me state this. Every 10 years, we do have to have on the ballot where we would have a Constitution convention. And this is the year that it's going to happen. I do not support that, but I do support what the effort is that they are trying to get across. We don't have to have a constitutional amendment to bring everything on the table. We could do that by introducing it in Juneau, and we can ask that it be placed on the ballot if we feel that strongly about what they are asking for.
I
don't think it should be, yes.
But you do think there should be Alaska Native subsistence
priority? I do.
Okay, Ms. Fairclough, yes. 30 seconds.
Thank you. I think there should be a subsistence preference. Whether it should be specific for Alaska Natives, I'd need to hear the arguments and what's being said.
Okay, thank you. Now you'll have an opportunity to question one another. Ms. Davis, you'll ask the first question. Ms. Fairclough, you'll have 45 seconds to respond, and then you'll have 15 seconds to comment on what you heard.
I've been thinking about this, and I don't know what the format. I know you're saying we have to ask questions. I prefer to use my time to talk about myself, but I will come up with one thing. For clarification for me and for the people that are listening to this program, I would like for Anna to tell us exactly why she is running for this particular seat.
Thank you. As everyone knows, every 10 years, redistricting happens, and from my perspective, it's a redistribution of representation and a voice. And so I'm running truly for the people of Alaska, the community that I've represented for the last 13 years in the Eagle River area. It is a little bit more conservative than some, but we're concerned about our future and about jobs for Alaskans. We're concerned about our economy and how we move the state forward. And truthfully, from looking at the inside of what's been going on in the House of Representatives, it has been disappointing when we have ideas that go forward to the Senate and they never come back out. And so I'm one to roll up my sleeves, to try hard to bring people together, but at least to talk in a transparent way about all the issues that are important to Alaska. I'm running for my kids. I have two boys. I want them to have good jobs in Alaska.
Betty Davis, 15 seconds to comment on what you've heard.
Over and over, I've heard Representative Fairclough speak to the point that she's running for that seat because she wants to come to the Senate in order to bring some parity because we did not take the bills that were sent over and didn't do the work that we should have done. That is definitely not true. You can't have a coalition if you don't have guidelines to go by. And if she was that concerned and she wanted to do the policy work on the budget and all that, and had moved herself up into the...
We're going to have to leave it there. You had 15 seconds. Sorry.
Sorry
Ms. Fairclough,
about that.
Your question for Ms. Davis.
Thank you. Well, one of them was already taken, and that was what was the most important issue that Senator Davis sees in Eagle River. And I guess I'll just throw that one out there if there's an additional response that the senator would like to make regarding issues important to that particular community.
I'd just like to say that those issues that was brought up there, I support all of those issues, and I work on them from time to time. I served in the legislature for a total of 18 years, 10 in the Senate, 6 on the House side. And there is nothing that they would want that I would not be supportive of. So I'm willing and able to do the job.
Ms. Fairclough, 15 seconds to comment.
I appreciate that. Senator Davis has served her community for a long time, being reelected in the East Anchorage area. I appreciate her service.
Now you have an opportunity to ask a second question.
What is the, Senator Davis, what's the most important piece of legislation in all your time in the Senate that you've carried?
Are you just speaking to the Senate or since I've been in the legislature?
You can choose either. The Senate was the question.
Every piece of legislation that I have introduced since I've been in the Senate have been very important. Some of the bill that I'm most proud of course, is to bring the percentage up for Denali KidCare, because when I came on, it had eroded to 156%, and I have been able to bring it back up to the 200%, and that's one of the main legislations that I passed. The other legislation that I'm proud of that I was able to pass within the 27th legislature is the fact that we're not going to have training throughout the school districts for not just the teachers, but also staff that work for the district to get training in suicide prevention. That is an important piece of legislation, and it has passed, and we're ready to put that into the schools beginning with this year.
Ms. Fairclough, 15 seconds.
I appreciate the suicide prevention. One of the concerns was liability for teachers in putting forward prevention programs in schools, and the administration of the school district provided language that we can could insert in Senator Davis's proposal, and so I believe that it'll be a great working model for protection of kids and the teachers.
Okay, Ms. Davis, you have an opportunity to ask a second question of your opponent.
Well, I think I'll just use the same question that my opponent just asked me as far as what's the most important legislation that she's passed during the 6 years that she's been in the legislature.
Ms. Fairclough.
Well, I'm very proud of the Alaska Children's Trust bill. It's a child abuse prevention mandate, I'll say, that was created years before me. And it had been managed for some time by Alaska state government. And if you're familiar with bureaucracy, that certainly was what was happening with the Alaska Children's Trust. After 4 years, we were able to talk about it, put it together, and move it into private sector hands, being managed by some of the same people, and being able to provide a revenue stream to support child abuse programs across our state in Alaska to improve the safety of children.
Ms. Davis, 15 seconds.
The only thing I'd say about the Children's Trust, I was very much interested in that Children's Trust, and I did carry that piece of legislation. I was not able to get it passed on the time that I did, and I admire the fact that she was able to do the job on that.
Ms. Fairclough, a third and final question.
Senator Davis, could you describe what you believe is the good things that are in ACEs and what need to be changed?
I'm not interested in really just discussing ACEs with you because, first of all, I don't serve on any of those committees that is dealing with it. But I do know this about ACEs because we had full training when we took the bill in and both sides came together and we heard all the goods for it and the bads for it and we decided to pass it. ACEs is working. I know that it's working. I'm not saying that it needs to stay just the way it is. There need to be some changes. But it needs to be everyone coming to the table and not just the governor passing a bill over on the House side, expecting it to go through and not guarantee any money back to the state by giving them $2 billion decrease on their taxes.
Ms. Fairclough, 15 seconds.
Thank you. Alaska is non-competitive in a global market. We rank 117th out of 129 across the world. ACES is doing a good job on bringing new explorers into the market, but it's not doing a good job in production and putting more oil in the pipeline.
Ms. Davis, you have an opportunity for a final question if you wish.
The final question, I think I will pass that because we might have some time to come back later.
Okay, well, we won't have time to come back to questions, but we'll have questions from our reporters, starting with Daisha Eaton. Once again, you will have 45 seconds to respond and your opponent 30 seconds to comment.
This is for Ms. Fairclough. You stood against rape, sexual assault, domestic violence, terrible problems, persistent problems in our state. And there's been a lot of work in Juneau to try to solve these problems, but it remains troublesome. Do you have any new ideas that you would bring down there?
Well, we have some continuing ideas. The first year that I was in the legislature, by the end of that term, we produced a task force that had recommendations, and we still haven't implemented all those recommendations. As an example, criminals, perpetrators of crimes against women and children, their sentencing structure does not line up with treatment programs that are currently being offered inside of our system, inside of the correctional facility. And so that's just one example of ways that we can continue to move forward to make things safer for Alaskans and try to rehabilitate some perpetrators of some crimes.
Ms. Davis, 30 seconds.
there is work that's being done in the legislature, and I'm sure that work will continue when they go back for the next session in January.
Okay, Kyle Hopkins from Ms. Davis.
Ms. Davis, do you believe that Eagle River is neglected by the municipality of Anchorage, and should it one day be its own city, its own municipality?
I wouldn't dare say that I would want to say whether they neglect them or not, because I'm not in the municipal government. I'm in state government. I don't know if the people feel that way. I know that sometime in the past they've asked that they look at it and be able to have their own municipality, but they were not able to do that because of the expense. And I'm not sure if they're not still trying to do that. Eventually that might happen. But as far as how the municipal is treating them, I'm not able to address that.
Ms. Faircliffe.
Thank you. There are many people that continue to believe that Eagle River is not fairly represented on the Anchorage Assembly. I serve there. What I found was if you made your case, you could bring people along. If you argued well and your debate had merit, that everyone would listen. And so during my 7 years serving on the Assembly, we were able to communicate, create a new high school, and do many things to improve the living conditions in Eagle River and work as partners with the rest of the municipality.
Daisha Eaton, your next question.
This is for Ms. Davis. Anchorage Superior Court Judge John Suttick recently upheld a law requiring parents to be notified before girls 17 and under have an abortion. Do you agree or disagree with this ruling?
I'm going to agree with the ruling because the ruling stands. They lost the case when parenthood filed against that. And so I have no objection to that.
Ms. Faircliffe.
Thank you. I agree with the ruling. I would go one step further that there's judicial bypass for those that are immigrants that may be child abuse and women being held down in particular positions. I actually argued for that particular component on the House floor. I think that as long as there's a judicial bypass so that there's some problems that people need to discuss with the judge outside of just a hard, fast rule, that creates a good form of justice for people affected.
Back to Kyle Hopkins.
This question is for Ms. Faircloth. Ms. Davis mentioned suicide prevention training for educators. My question is, what do you think the state could do? Suicide is continues to be a major problem in Alaska. Often there are calls for just more meetings and more study. Do you have any specific ideas about how to combat suicide?
Thank you for asking. Actually, I serve on Alaska's Suicide Prevention Council with Representative Gardner, Senator Ellis, and Senator French. So it's something near and dear to my heart. There absolutely is. When I first got on board, we had an outdated plan. So for the last years that I've been part of that group as a non-voting member, they have moved forward with more specifics. In other words, we have created a speakers bureau, per se, that can go out and talk peer-to-peer with kids. One of our current members is a student. I watched her speak. I watched her move an entire crowd in a small community where normally you would have kids talking back and forth. They were riveted with what she has to say. So peer-to-peer, having people who really can say meaningful things to other people, can provide hope in communities and help people and kids specifically to realize that suicide is a devastation, not an option.
Thank you very much. Ms. Davis, 30 seconds.
I'm very supportive of things that we are doing, but I still think that we're not doing enough. I choose respect is the governor's motto, and I agree with that. But this can't just talk it. You got to put the money in place. We have to have money for schools, education, in social services, things that are being cut that would keep us from moving people into the area where they might commit suicide, now particularly our young people.
I'm sorry. Now we'll move to the segment of the program where the reporters will ask you the same question. You'll each have 30 seconds to comment on the question, and reporters will probably need a couple extra questions if you could. So let's start with Daisha Eaton here first.
Ms. Faircliffe, legislators have been talking about a gas line for more than three decades, and people are beginning to talk about it again. And people are just wondering, is this for real? Is this something that can happen in the near future, or are they just blowing smoke? What do you think?
Well, I'd like to get to gas, as you've said. There are challenges on Alaska's North Slope to bring gas to market. Most of them is just competition and what gas is selling in a worldwide commodity. But we can help Alaska and America become energy independent. I think it is a real possibility, but I think we have to get past the political sound bites. We have to get onto a real conversation about the knobs that need to be turned, the criteria that needs to be changed so that it can be a viable project.
Betty Davis, 30 seconds.
I'm very supportive of an in-state gas line, and I hope that we move beyond the talk, and I agree that we do need to come together and make sure that we move in that direction, because there are places that are hurting and need that reduction in gas.
Okay, Kyle Hopkins, one more question here.
One of the things that kind of hangs in the balance in this election in the Senate is the bipartisan coalition. If elected, would you expect that you would serve in that bipartisan coalition?
I would not serve in the existing coalition. From the House's perspective, and that's all I can speak to, it has been ineffective. It hasn't taken on issues that are critically important to Alaska. And specific for me, I'll take it away from oil and gas. I've had a procurement bill that's been over in the Senate and killed two different times. It would have created a small procurement opportunity for many businesses in Alaska to put land and lease available to Alaskans, and it died two times over in the Senate. So I'd like to talk about issues, and I'm willing to work at that.
Betty Davis, 30 seconds.
First of all, I just want to say that bills die in both houses. It's not because of the coalition. It's because of the setup. I passed 13 bills over to the Senate this past year, and out of those 13 bills that they have, they're still 8 or 9 of those bills that died, never made it to the floor. As far as supporting the coalition, I think it's one of the best things that we could do. That particular coalition is dead because it's over. You don't know who's going to be there next year. I would like to have people down in Juneau that would be willing to serve in a coalition.
Okay, let's go to our closing statement, starting with Betty Davis for 1 minute.
Thank you very much for having us, and I hope that this has been helpful to the community that's listened to what we have to say. I know we can't tell you everything within this short time, but I do want to say that I'm willing and able to serve. I would be honored to continue to represent East Anchorage as well as Eagle River. It's been a long, hard race because I had a primary. And so I got through the primary, and so I'm now here in the general. And all I can say is that I want you to know that I stand for families, children. I've done many things for veterans. I've health care. It's my passion, and so is education. I believe that I can do a good job. I do believe that because of the makeup of the Senate, my going back is very important, because at the present time, there will be no African-Americans serving in this legislature if I do not win this seat.
Thank
you
very much.
Because they're not on the ballot.
Ms. Fairclough, 1 minute.
Thank you. Thank you for providing this forum. I'm Anna Fairclough, candidate for State Senate District M, representing Eagle River in East Anchorage. For the last 6 years, I've served as your representative in Alaska's legislature. Prior to that, I served on the Anchorage Assembly for 7 years. I need your help. Alaska has a bright future in front of us, but we do have to look at economics. We do have to look at jobs and growth for Alaska. I'm willing to work with anybody who will put jobs for Alaskans first and make sure that my grandkids can stay here and be born. I'm Anna Fairclough, and I'd appreciate your vote on November 6th.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Thank you, Ms. Fairclough.
Thank you.
Next on Running, we'll hear from the House candidates from House District 25. Stay with us.
Election Day is November 6th. From the presidential race to Alaska's at-large House seat to ballot measures, every vote matters. Every issue matters. Hi, I'm Peter Granitz, APRN's Washington, D.C. correspondent. I'll be at the Dena'ina Center election night, recapping the national races and what it means for our state. What happens if the Senate changes hands? Will Congress remain divided? Can an election remedy some of the brinksmanship? And how can Alaska regain some clout at the Capitol? Tune in to KSKA Anchorage on Tuesday night, November 6th, for APRN's special election night coverage.
You're listening to Running on KSKA Anchorage, FM 91.1.
Now let's meet the candidates in House District 25. They are Democrat Pete Peterson and Republican Lance Pruitt. Let's start with you, Mr. Peterson, your opening statement, sir.
Thank you, Michael. Good evening. I'm Pete Peterson, your East Anchorage representative. I'm running for re-election because you need a representative who puts your needs first. I'm working hard every day to make sure that East Anchorage has a strong voice in the legislature. I know that high gas prices have been hurting Alaskan families and businesses, so I've been leading the fight to ban gas price gouging. It's our oil, so we shouldn't be getting gouged. On the House Energy Committee, I worked with experts from across the state to craft an energy policy that would lower energy costs and create jobs for Alaskans. I've also fought hard for road and school projects in East Anchorage over the last 4 years. The new Muldoon Fire Station is up and operating, and we've repaired lots of roads in East Anchorage. As a small business owner for over 20 years, I have a clear track record of creating jobs and balancing budgets. I'm Representative Pete Peterson, and I'm on your side.
Mr. Pruitt, 1 minute, sir.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, panelists, for having us here, and thank you for watching. My name is Lance Pruitt. I am running for District 25. And I'm running because, you know, this is the place that I've always called home. I was born and raised in this district. You know, I've had chances to leave this area, but this is, to me, one of the greatest places that I've ever been. I'm deciding I want to raise my kids here. And I'm running because I want to make sure that they've got a great future. I'm running because I want to make sure that we're doing the right things now for their future. In the last couple years, I've been able to move forward both legislation as well as certain things like road projects that I know people in East Anchorage had asked me for. Whether it was banning substances that were currently legal and making them illegal so that our kids were safe, whether it was making sure that our teachers had the right things, that's why I'm running. And I'd ask for your vote in November.
Thank you. Now we'll go to our reporters, starting with Daisha Eden, your first question for Pete Peterson.
Mr. Peterson, because of redistricting, the two of you are incumbents and you're running against each other. Please explain the differences between you.
The differences between us. Well, I'm a slightly more experienced Alaskan. I'm 61 years of age. I've been in the legislature I'm just finishing my fourth year in the legislature. I've been concentrating on helping Alaskan families and businesses and individuals in East Anchorage. One of the reasons I ran for the legislature in the first reason was because I thought that the people at the top and the large corporations didn't need any help, but there was an advocate that needed to help the average person on the street.
Mr. Pruitt, 30 seconds.
Well, you know, probably the key difference is that I was born and raised in this district. I know this district very, very, very well. On top of that, I'm in the majority. And in the majority, I also have chaired committees. I think I've had the opportunity to chair committees probably more than I believe Representative Peterson has. That's a really important piece.
Kyle Hopkins, next question.
This question is for Mr. Pruitt. You mentioned your efforts to make substances illegal that were not already illegal. One of those drugs is synthetic marijuana or spice. My question is, are people actually being arrested for possession of spice and prosecuted for possession of that drug?
You know, I'll talk to you about a little bit how I found out about it. Whether or not we've had a bunch of cases, I'd have to check again to make sure. But I will say, this came to me initially from teachers. I had some teachers that said, you know, we've got some students that are using this stuff and it's legal. When I got down to Juneau, then I started hearing this was public safety employees were coming to us and saying, hey, this stuff is bad. This stuff is worse than you know. So this came from people, I never knew it was out there. This came from the people that are in the heart of it. So they said they needed this to be effective, to stop it. They said, we're going to make sure that this is illegal so that it gets get it off the street so our kids don't have access to it.
Are people being prosecuted for it?
You know, I'd have to check to see if they are currently being
prosecuted. Let's go on to Mr. Peterson. Mr. Peterson, 30 seconds.
Well, I think we have to keep up with the changing times. Chemists are constantly tweaking the recipes to some of these illegal substances so that they can get around the laws and the statutes that we have on the books. And so we have to constantly be vigilant to update our laws so that we can keep up with the bad guys, so to speak.
Daisha Eaton for Mr. Pruitt.
Mr. Pruitt, regarding education, we have some of the highest dropout rates in the country. We have low test scores pretty consistently, and we've been throwing money at the problem for some time now. How do we get our money's worth for education in this state?
You know, there's a couple ways to do it. But I think one of the most important things, especially as it relates to the rural, and I think that's key. There are people that live in the rural areas who are not getting educated, and they end up coming into the Anchorage School District, and that then spends teachers' time in Anchorage School District trying to bring them to the level, when we should just be doing it right out there in the rural areas. So how do we solve that? Well, the Native Corporations and AFN has asked for the opportunity to be able to educate their students. I think it's important if we give the opportunity, and there's some changes that need to be made, that the people out in the rural areas have the access to be able to educate their own students instead of placing it on the state, I think you'll find a better rate of return.
Mr. Peterson.
Well, I believe the history of education in Alaska has changed a little bit. When I first got here, we had one of the top-rated education systems in the country. We had the best voc tech at our local high schools of anywhere in the nation, and we had good graduation rates. Because of economic downturns in the 80s, those programs were cut, and they're in the process of being reinstated at the local high schools, giving children more choices, so that hopefully they won't drop out.
New question, Kyle Hopkins for Mr. Peterson.
Mr. Peterson, there's been a story over the past few days on talk radio and reported in the Alaska Dispatch about one of your staffers who's accused by the trainee campaign of removing campaign door signs as a volunteer in the Midtown race. What happened?
Well, I heard about it yesterday morning. I wasn't aware that she was volunteering for other campaigns. I just hired her about a month ago as a temporary fill-in while my full-time staffer was on vacation. But I have a zero tolerance for this type of activity. I contacted her as soon as I could yesterday morning and asked for her resignation, and she gave it to me. And it's an unfortunate situation. She realized she made a mistake. She's a young lady, and this is the first time she'd ever worked on campaigns. And hopefully she will learn from her mistake. But this is not something that I'm advocating, and hope that it never happens again.
Mr. Pruitt, 30 seconds.
I think the staff is an extension of the legislator, and probably one of the most important things that a legislator does is make sure that they've got the right staff. I think what's important to see here is that this individual, and I've been hiring people since I first started into the workforce, is you've got to do your due diligence to make sure you've got the right person standing behind you. They are a representative of you in front of your constituents and the rest of the state.
Stop there, Daisha Eaton.
Mr. Pruitt, let's talk about health care. It's very expensive here. Sometimes difficult to get certain treatments. People are flying out of state. In some cases, insurance companies are paying for it. What can we do in this state? What can you do from Juneau to make health care more affordable and more accessible?
Yeah, and it's. I wish there was just a real silver bullet. There's not a silver bullet. Of course, a lot of the, you mentioned that it's cheaper in some cases for us to send some of our people out of state. And, of course, unfortunately, we don't have all of the providers that we need up here, or there's so few of them that they're able to, they don't have the time and the cost rises higher. So one of the ways that we can encourage that, and I think we've done a little bit of this, is to encourage students that have gone out in the past some sort of relief for when they come back, because it's very expensive to leave. And we know we don't have, they're going to go out. It's going to be very expensive because we don't have the resources up here. Can we assist them? And I know we've put some of that in place, but we need to make sure that we continue some of that to make sure that they come back to Alaska. They hang their shingle here, not in some other state.
Mr. Peterson.
Well, I believe one thing we could do is maybe it's time to have our own medical school here in Anchorage at UAA, the UMed district. It's a perfect location for it. As I was going door to door this summer, a gentleman I talked to had helped to create the medical school at the University of Arizona in Tucson. He says he thinks it's we're high time for us to get our own medical school. That way we could train more doctors in state here. They could do their residency in state, and we would have more physicians available with more different specialties.
Kyle Hopkins, last question this round.
This one's for Mr. Peterson. One thing that's different about this election is because of redistricting, you have instances where you have sitting legislators running against each other. You know, you don't have an incumbent and a newcomer. Can you tell me one thing that you've accomplished in Juneau that sets you apart from your opponent?
Well, I've introduced the legislation in 2009 that would require health insurance companies to cover autism spectrum disorders. I worked over the 4 years I've been in the legislature to educate my colleagues about this issue, and we ended up with 30 sponsors and co-sponsors on this bill, and it passed on the last day of the session and became law on June 27th. So I have a proven record of working in a bipartisan manner.
Mr. Pruitt, 30 seconds.
I think he highlighted just the very reason that we're different. The bill that actually passed came from the Senate. His bill didn't move at all in the House. That's the big difference. In the House, I've been able to work across party lines and with people to get legislation and to move forward on things. The items that he just mentioned, again, not something that he was able to do. He was not effective in the House. And I've been able to move some of that stuff forward. I think it's key difference.
Now, the candidates will have an opportunity to ask each other questions. Mr. Peterson, you go first. Mr. Pruitt, you have 45 seconds to respond, and then Mr. Peterson has 15 seconds to comment. Mr. Peterson.
Thank you. Lance, I voted to reduce oil taxes for more oil production in Alaska. You voted against requiring production in Alaska, and you voted for the governor's HB 110 $2 billion a year giveaway that lets companies take our money out of state and spend it in Libya or Iraq or Nigeria.
There's a question in there somewhere. What's the question?
People always ask, why doesn't government operate more like a business? Well, what company would give $2 billion away a year of their bottom line profits without any getting any money back?
Let's start with the first thing. If I'm in business, and I work in business, that's what since I came out of high school, I've been working in business, been in management. If you can't guarantee something to someone, why should they guarantee you? I think that's important. We can't guarantee we're not going to change the law in 2 years. And we're asking them to make guarantees? No. We've got to be on the same playing field. Here's the one benefit that we have. We can look at them and say, we're going to make certain reductions. And if you don't change this thing in a couple years, we're going to change it back on you. We have that power, the authority to do that. And I think that's a key difference, is that we're sitting here waiting for some sort of guarantee instead of saying, you know what, first we try, then we trust. And we can change it if we need to.
Mr. Peterson, 15 seconds.
Well, in the past, the state has been accused of being using inexcusable trustfulness with the oil companies. And I've actually been told by oil company employees as I go door to door that if the governor gets his way, the oil executives in Houston and London will be laughing so hard they'll be falling off their chairs.
Okay, we've got to leave it right there. Mr. Pruitt.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. So, Mr. Peterson, in your view, is it ethical for a legislator to claim credit for a bill they voted against?
Well, you're talking about my vote against the capital budget, I assume. And first of all the items that I have included and requested in the capital budgets over the years have been vetted by the community council, schools in East Anchorage, or the municipality of Anchorage. My total request has been a very small percentage of the overall capital budget, but the reason I voted against the capital budget is because it had ballooned up to over $3 billion a year in the last week of the legislative session. I felt that was unsustainable, so I voted no. I don't believe it's correct to put items in there like $2 million to fly people to basketball games. I'm a fiscal conservative, and I would rather have saved the money for the future.
Mr. Pruitt.
I think that's another thing that's really important is you can't claim credit for something you voted against. You can't claim credit if you didn't push the green button. So it doesn't matter what's in the bill. If you voted against it, not just that you didn't vote for it because you weren't there, you voted against it. You can't claim credit for the roads, you can't claim credit for the schools, you can't claim credit for anything that's in there if you voted against it.
Mr. Pruitt, you have a second question. Just your opportunity for a second question.
All right. So, Mr. Peterson, one of the things that is, I think, incredibly important for Alaska is what are we doing to make sure that we have a stable gas supply? And you've stated in the past that you think that we have plenty of gas in the Cook Inlet. Why did you vote against a gas pipeline?
Well, I voted against the bullet line because it would have at least doubled or possibly even tripled gas prices here in Anchorage. I believe also the building a small diameter pipeline would have completely stopped the building of a large diameter pipeline. The large pipeline would provide low-cost gas for Alaskans and also create many jobs. It would also bring in significant revenue to the state, where the small pipeline would bring in little or no revenue.
Mr. Pruitt.
Yeah, you've stated in the past that you want to move forward on the gas line, but yet you didn't propose anything and you voted against the only thing that was out there. I think it's important for people in Alaska to understand that you thought there was plenty of gas out there, so you voted against the gas line.
Mr. Peterson, your next question.
I've been fighting hard to try to lower gas prices by introducing a bill to make gas price gouging illegal. Attorney generals have done investigations over the years, and one of the investigations, the most recent one, the attorney general specifically stated that we have no law against price gouging, and so therefore he couldn't find against that.
We need a question here.
My question is, what's your position on price gouging? Would you vote in favor of my bill if you had the opportunity?
You know what's funny is your bill didn't move anywhere. It didn't have any kind of movement the first day. I think that kind of speaks to the sign that the attorney general already has the authority to go after someone if they're gouging us. He's got that authority. He's done it. Bruce Botello, Democrat, under Tony Knowles, he did go after it. And he, at the time, said there was no gas gouging. We've had multiple reports since then. They've said no gas gouging. Here's the difference, and I think it's very clear, stark clear. You want to regulate? I want to work with business. I want to make sure that we're providing the proper environment, because if their costs come down, then they will then send those costs to us.
We've got to leave it there and go to Mr. Peterson for 15 seconds.
Well, there is no law against gas gouging on the books, and there have been other investigations done by attorney generals, but that was to see if there was price fixing or collusion to fix prices. And so if my bill would pass, I believe it would lower gas prices.
Mr. Pruitt, your third question.
All right, my third question. What have you done for education in East Anchorage?
Well, thank you. I got a call from Chester Valley Elementary School, and they were in the process of finishing the remodeling of that school, and it was going to be opening in the fall that year. And they had realized that they hadn't made a request for new computers for their computer room. And they were going to be opening up a brand new school with and using 5-year-old computers. And so I put in a request on the capital budget that year. We got money for all the new computers. And when we had the ribbon cutting ceremony, I got to go back to the computer room. And they were actually installing the computers that day. And they've been helping students in that school ever since.
Mr. Pruitt.
Again, you voted against the capital budget that would have been in. You've also voted against the operating budgets that the teachers' salaries would be in. You voted against all of those different various items that would fund schools, fund education, whether it's capital or whether it's just the operations of them. You voted against it consistently every year. I just confirmed
okay.
Beforehand.
Mr. Peterson.
Well,
final question.
Lance, over the last 2 years, you have voted to grow state government spending to over $12 billion a year. Why I have voted against these bloated budgets, because I believe they're unsustainable. You've even said they're unsustainable, but you have voted in favor of them. Why do you think it's acceptable to spend money, record budgets, and even spend money to fly people into Anchorage to see basketball games when you say
Mr.
the
Pruitt.
Budget is unsustainable?
Yeah. Let's start with one, because I'm not going to let the state stop. The state's going to continue. And I know the only way to really make it happen is to work behind the scenes. Hence the reason I worked on statute to make sure that we're doing audits of every department every 5 years. If we're going to take care of the problem, it's not just from voting randomly this year. It's from controlling your spending on the long term. It's putting in legislation that we're not going to spend at that excess rate. I think that's, if we continue to just oh no, we're going to go around and do the same thing we're doing, it's going to continue to grow. We've got to put in legislation. And I've done that. I've been a supporter of that. The Senate hasn't moved forward on it. And I think that's where we're having our problem in the future.
Well, if we are going to stop the budget from growing, someone has to stand up and vote no if we have record budgets in front of us. I did that. I'm a fiscal conservative, and I believe we have to control state spending.
Okay, now we're going to go to our reporters for another round of questions. Daisha Eaton, your first question for Mr. Pruitt.
This is for Mr. Pruitt. Should we be funding through public monies, charter schools, private schools, and parochial schools?
I go back to what I mentioned earlier about AFN. AFN has actually sponsored resolutions to have some sort of funding go to potentially the corporations. I think one of the places that the state has failed is in educating our rural students. So I don't have a problem with giving some of these people who can do it better. And I think they'll do a much better job of teacher retention as well as teaching the children out there if we come up with a program that would allow those opportunities.
Would you support a constitutional amendment?
I did. I supported it going to the floor. The reason being, because I think, one second, Michael, because I think that it's important that the people get the opportunity to decide for themselves.
Let's go to Mr. Peterson, 30 seconds.
Well, I think that was short-sighted this year when the Education and Early Development Budget Subcommittee cut the distance learning program out of the budget. That's something that could be used greatly in rural Alaska, especially now since they're getting DSL in many parts of western and rural Alaska. And I think that this program allows students in areas all over the state to be able to take classes that their schools may not be able to offer.
But do you support vouchers?
We got to move on here to Mr. To Kyle Hopkins from Mr. Peterson. Sorry about that, but let's do it.
The larger issue this year at AFN was subsistence, as it often is, and the convention this year was calling for a constitutional amendment that would provide a Alaska Native priority, not a rural priority, but Alaska Native priority for hunting and fishing on Alaska land. Do you support a constitutional amendment that would provide an Alaska Native subsistence priority?
Well, we've had special sessions in the past. I think they had at least three of them during the Knowles administration trying to solve the subsistence problem. I don't know whether this would be the final solution or not. I do think it is something that we could take up in the legislature again. Whether it's time for a constitutional amendment, I'm not sure about that. I think this is something the legislature should try to tackle before we take it to a vote of the people.
Mr. Pruitt.
Well, I like constitutional amendments. Why? Because it gives the people the opportunity to vote on it. You know, I think it's an Alaska decision. And constitutional amendments make it an Alaska decision. If Alaskans feel that it should remain a rural preference or if it should become a native preference, then Alaskans should be able to speak to that. And I think the idea of giving it out there for people to then vote on it, I like that idea.
Daisha Eaton for Mr. Peterson.
Real quick, do you support school vouchers or not?
No, I do not.
Okay. So people who run for the legislature talk endlessly about supporting small businesses. You've been involved with small business. You're a business owner. What would you do in Juneau, if you go back there, to support small businesses specifically?
Well, I think we should create a small business loan program where small businesses could get some initial startup cash to begin their business. The majority of jobs in Alaska that are being created by small business. And so I think we need to promote small business in any way we can. As a member of the legislature, I would be willing to do that.
Mr. Pruitt, 30 seconds.
One of the things that we did is, through Representative Costello's bill, we actually eliminated some of the taxes on small businesses. I think that's a great step. We need to move forward, though, and make sure that regulations and some of the state bureaucracy that creates burdens for small businesses, we need to eliminate that, whether it's through technology or whether it's through just eliminating those particular regulations. I think that's where we can help those small businesses.
Kyle Hopkins for Mr. Pruitt.
Mr. Pruitt, I feel like you guys both kind of punted on the to voters on the subsistence question. Would you personally vote for Alaska Native priority?
You know, I'll say I actually like, because Alaska's got a lot of people that actually are not just Native, but they are they actually live in rural areas and they have for many years. I'll use an example. My friend Representative Dick. I don't know that I would leave it to just the Native groups, because I think there are people that have, like Representative Dick, lived in those areas for years, and he does hunt for his livelihood.
Mr. Peterson, 30 seconds.
Well, there are many people in rural Alaska who have been having and using a subsistence lifestyle for generations, and I do believe that they should be able to get a preference in areas that they have traditionally hunted in the past, but I don't believe that other hunters throughout Alaska should be banned from hunting in those areas as well.
Okay, now the reporters will ask you both the same question, and you'll each have 30 seconds to respond. Daisha Eaton.
Let's start with Mr. Peterson. Renewable resource development, we've seen Fire Island start up here just recently, and of course there's the Susitna-Watonna Dam and lots of other project ideas around this area. What would you support here in South Central? Would you like to see more of that?
Well, I'm a big backer of renewable energy. I believe that we should be trying to develop geothermal a little bit more. I know there was some test drilling done over at Mount Spur. They were unsuccessful with that first test well, but I believe that I'd like to see them continue to go forward. Iceland and other countries have developed geothermal, and it works very well for them. And I think since we're on the Ring of Fire, it only makes sense that we should try to develop that here in Alaska as well.
Mr. Pruitt, 30 seconds before we go to closing statements.
Yeah, I think, of course, renewables are a great opportunity. My view is that we should be selling our hydrocarbons to other countries because we've got all the resources we need right here. I was a huge supporter of Susitna-Watonna Dam. Why? Because that's where we should have been 30 years ago. You know, Iceland in the 70s started developing the technology so that they wouldn't need to import oil. We need to act now on those. Geothermal, he's right. It's another great opportunity. That's why I paid personally out of my own pocket to go to Iceland to understand the technology from the people who developed it the best.
Closing statements of 1 minute each. We'll start with Pete Peterson.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you for giving me this time to talk with you this evening. I'm Pete Peterson, and it has been my pleasure to serve as your East Anchorage representative in Juneau for the last 4 years. I'm asking for your vote because you need a representative who puts your needs first. I've been working hard for you every day, and I'm ready to go back to Juneau and fight for you. I moved to Alaska 31 years ago because of all the freedom and opportunity Alaska had to offer, and I want to make sure that those same opportunities remain for future generations. You have a clear choice in this race. When oil companies demanded a $2 billion a year giveaway with no strings attached, I stood up for Alaska and I voted no. My opponent voted for the giveaway. This election is about the future of the state of Alaska and whether our destiny will be controlled by Alaskans or by outside special interests. I'm Pete Peterson, and I would appreciate your vote on Tuesday, November 6th, and I'm on your side.
Mr. Pruitt, your closing statement.
Well, thank you again for giving us this opportunity. Representative Peterson is right. You have a clear distinction here. You have someone here who's grown up in your area, who listens to what you have to say, who doesn't have to read everything that's coming off, that doesn't have to listen to other people on where he's going to move forward. You've got someone that's listening to you, someone that understands the details of where we live, where we've come from. I'm looking to the future. We need more people like Wally Hickel. We need more people like our neighbor who just passed away a year ago, Commissioner Knoll. We need these people to step up because we need to make decisions long into the future. East Anchorage needs someone who's looking out for them, not just kind of what someone else tells them to, but looking out for them. That's why I think in this election is about our future. So on November 2nd, I would ask for your vote.
Thank you, Mr. Pruitt. Thank you, Mr. Peterson. Next on Running, we'll hear from the House candidates from House District 26. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Daisha Eaton, KSKA's South Central reporter. On election night, I'll be reporting from the Denina Center, covering the South Central races. With 59 of 60 seats up for grabs because of redistricting, this is a high-stakes election year. Will the 10-10 split in the Senate be upset? Will the bipartisan coalition survive the election or be cast aside? Whoever wins the South Central races will help determine how Alaska moves forward. Tune in to KSKA Anchorage on Tuesday night, November 6th, for APRN's special election night coverage.
You're listening to Running on KSKA Anchorage, FM 91.1.
Welcome back. Joining us on the panel of reporters is Grace Jang of KTVA Television. Now let's meet the candidates for House District 26, Democrat Roberta Goffner and Republican Laura Reinbold. We'll start with Ms. Goffner, your opening one-minute statement, please.
Thanks, Mike. My name is Roberta Goffner. I'm running for State House in District 26, which is the new Eagle River District, which is Highland, South Fork, Olive Eagle River, Meadow Creek, and crosses the Glen Highway over up to Banff Springs and Loveland Circle. As a third-generation Alaskan, I'm proud to be a candidate for District 26, Eagle River. As I've grown up in the state, I've grown up with the state's economy and the development of our natural resources. I've lived in Eagle River for over 30 years, and I've raised my family there. I believe in family-centered leadership and old-fashioned traditional values. Decisions made in Juneau should be evaluated against how they impact the well-being of Alaskans and our families. My priorities: excellence and accountability in education, health and safety, and good jobs for families of Eagle River. Thank you.
Now let's hear for Laura Reinbold.
Hello, my name is Laura Reinbold, and I was born and raised in Alaska. I care deeply about the future of this state, and that's the reason I'm running for State House in Eagle River. I have two children that both have graduated from the high school in Alaska, and they're both doing very, very well. However, we need some change. We need some reform in education, and I have spent the last 10 years of my life as a substitute teacher piloting my kids through both public and private education, and I've seen some wonderful things in our education, and I also see some things that absolutely need to be reformed. I also spent about 15 years professionally in healthcare, and with Obamacare coming on, I think that we have some big changes coming in healthcare. And with my experience in healthcare, I believe that I'm the right person for the job. In regards to the fiscal budgets, right now we have alarming budgets in Alaska, and we need someone with good common sense, business sense, to come and get more business and less politics down in Juneau.
Now we'll go to the reporter's questions. You will have 45 seconds to respond to the person whose question, and your opponent will have 30 seconds to comment on what they've heard. Let's go to Daisha Eaton for the first question.
This is for Ms. Goffner. You say in your statement to the voters that you want to promote excellence and accountability in education. Can you explain to the voters exactly what that would look like?
Well, there are several things that we need to do in our schools, and one of the projects that I've been working on is came from my son's education, where we have children that are falling through the cracks because they have learning challenges. Working with the school district on a task force that will actually start looking at how we can identify these kiddos and actually help them succeed in the educational system. This will help also increase test scores, but it will also help increase graduation rates.
Ms. Reinbold, 30 seconds.
Okay, basically in regards to education, I am a passionate believer. I think education is an excellent investment. However, right now in fourth grade reading, we are last in the nation, and we are top in the nation for spending on our school district. So right now I believe reform is necessary. I think we have some incredible teachers. I have seen brilliant teachers in the 10 years I've been substitute teaching, and some fabulous principals. However, I think that we need to improve and focus more, get back to the basics, and improve our, especially our math and reading scores in the state.
Grace Jang for Laura Reinbold.
Ms. Reinbold, you say that Juneau needs to be more business savvy. Can you explain what that looks like by giving specific examples?
Well, I think we need to be more issue-oriented. For example, speaking of education, that's something that, you know, we all want good education, so we need to get beyond politics and we need to get back to the issues. A fiscal policy is a lot of Democrats want fiscal policy, a lot of Republicans want it. We need to focus on a fiscal plan, fiscal policy for the future. So I think getting back to the issues and focusing on the issues and working together and moving the state forward is the key to success in the state.
Ms. Goffner, 30 seconds. Ms. Goffner.
I think this is one area where Laura and I agree, which is a long-term fiscal plan. It's something that I campaigned on 12 years ago when I ran for the state Senate. But I think what we have to be specific about is what is going to be in that fiscal plan. Part of what we need to do is look at and make sure we catalog our natural resources and know what the resources are that the state has, what their marketability and their market rate and value are. And then we also need to take a look at our financial spending and budgets and make sure they meet the goals and objectives of our state.
Thank you. Dacia Eaton, your question.
For Ms. Reinbold, you have experience in health care. Our state has some of the most expensive and difficult to access health care. What can the state do, and what might you do from Juneau to help make health care more accessible and affordable here? Mm-hmm.
One, I truly believe that telemedicine, we're completely underutilizing telemedicine, and especially with the vastness of this state, I think that investing in that kind of opportunity is very, very important. Also, healthcare initiatives are very, very important. There's a lot of people that could do a lot more for themselves in regards to preventative measures. We have a lot of issues that people need to start working on, working out and eating healthier, and a lot of the corporations are doing that right now. That's something that we need to look at as a state. Also, I'm a passionate believer in health savings accounts. That's when people save up for their future health care needs, and I think it's very, very important. So I think there's a lot we can do, and it's a very, very important focus.
Ms. Goffner.
Well, the state government as a policymaking body is really the entity that, as legislators, we're going to need to concentrate on. And we, having worked as a benefits administrator for several employers during my career as a human resource professional, the one thing I do know is that the cost of health care for insurance, about 75% to 80% of that cost is the cost of claims. In other words, what we pay for services. So the job of the legislature is to make sure that we have a marketplace that's competitive, that we have laws that enable us to have HMOs, PPOs, and as much competition as we can to drive down the cost of those services.
Okay, back to Grace Jang.
This question is for Ms. Goffner. You say you're an active member of Joy Lutheran Church. Now, church has played a pretty significant role both for and against Proposition 5, which would have extended anti-discrimination benefits mm-hmm. to members of the LGBT community here in the city. Can you tell us how you voted and why?
Well, one of the privileges of the secret ballot is I don't often tell people how I voted. But I will tell you that I am a passionate believer in our Constitution and equal protection under the law, and I think that we have to look at and separate what are our religious beliefs and what are our, you know, what are our secular and our laws and from the state. Churches have every right and should decide the issue of marriage as far as the GLBT community is concerned, you know, whether or not they want to sanctify that union. But we have to make sure that under state law we give equal protection to all individuals in their right to choose a life partner and to have the same rights and benefits as other married couples.
Ms. Reinbold.
In regards to Prop 5, I actually voted against Prop 5. I believe the Constitution equally protects all of us. And
trying to take out a group and giving special protections to them, I think it kind of messes up the purpose of the Constitution. I think we're all created equal, and I think we need to absolutely, that the Constitution protects us equally right now, and I want to keep us all on the same page.
Let's return to Daisha Eaton.
This is for Ms. Reinbold. You say in your statement that encouraging investment and responsible resource development is a top priority for you. What exactly would that look like, and what does that mean to you?
Okay, well, I was on the governor's transition team for energy, resources, and the environment. Mm-hmm. It was an honor to serve on that transition team. And we looked at resources are very, very important to this state. Estimated it funds about 90% of our budgets for roads, for schools, for the state budget in general. So I think we need to make sure right now we're rated by multiple people as a very poor place to do business, and it's not the wisest place to invest in right now. So right now we need to make sure that we look at a lot of different things. One, our tax structure. We definitely need to look at our tax structure. We need to look at our streamlining, our permitting, and making sure that we as a state partner with the industry, because we all benefit as oil production goes up.
And how about the responsible development part?
Absolutely. I think we have excellent oversight right now. And
okay, we'll have to wrap it up. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
My apologies. Let's go on to Ms. Goffner. Okay. 30 seconds.
Okay. You know, having looked at the studies that are on the Prosperity website, we're making big statements about Alaska not being a good place to do business, but on the other hand, we see new businesses coming in every day. I think there are specific issues that we can address when it comes to making Alaska a friendly environment towards business. And those have to do with, if we look at I believe it's the CNBC or the CNN web poll that was on the Prosperity website, which talks about technology infrastructure, it talks about education, it talks about also our roads and other physical infrastructure. Those were the very specific issues that were addressed. As a matter of fact, research that was done on our tax structure showed that Alaska doesn't have as far as its overall business
tax
structure.
We'll have to leave it there and go back to Grace Jang for the last question in this segment.
And Ms. Goffner, if voters decide there should be a constitutional convention, what would you change about the Constitution, if at all?
Well, that's a tough question for me because I'm probably going to vote no on the constitutional convention. I think that knowing Vic Fisher and having been involved in politics since I was very young, we have one of the best constitutions in the United States, and it was very well researched and put together. So at this point, I don't really see that opening up the Constitution and making changes to it is something that we need to do.
Ms. Reinbold, 30 seconds.
And I will be a no vote on the Constitutional Convention. I think amendments need to be made as necessary. Right now, we're feeling it's been a really, really good guide and blueprint for this state. And I think we need to protect that. Opening it up could cause tremendous liability. And so I would just be a no vote on the Constitutional Convention.
Okay, now the candidates will question one another. Ms. Goffner, you'll go first. Ms. Goffner, it'll be... Your opponent will have 45 seconds to respond, and you'll have 15 seconds to comment on the response. So your first question, please.
One of the great things about living in Eagle River is that our legislative group has always worked as a team, a bipartisan team, and worked together for the benefit of the community. And I know that you've worked on lots of issues when it comes to trails and so on. So what have you learned about working as part of a team, and what were some of the challenges, and what do you think you'll take to the legislature to work as part of that Eagle River team?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have worked on a lot. Last 10 years, I've served on a number of boards, a number of committees, and I have learned a lot through that process. I've learned how the local government works. I've learned more how the state and even some how the federal government works. It's amazing. She gave an example. One of many committees and boards I was on was the Eagle River Trails, and I learned about processes that you have to go through. We had to get all of the community councils to move forward in regards to that. We had to work with the state landowners. We had to work with adjacent landowners. We had to work with permitting, both on a city, a state, and even a federal level. It's been an amazing process. So I've absolutely learned process. I've learned that issues are much bigger than politics.
Okay, we'll have to stop there, Ms. Goffner.
I also believe that teamwork is important, and I think what's going to be important in going to Juneau this year is going to be able to not have positions that are going to restrict and keep us from being able to work on the other side of the aisle.
Okay. Ms. Reinbold, your question.
Okay, my question is, right now Alaska spends higher per capita than any other state in the nation. However, we have very low test scores for fourth grade reading, which is a critical, because if we have not learned to read by fourth grade, we have to put a lot more resources additionally in the future. What is your plan to improve educational outcomes and help bring down the budget?
Well, one of the things that we have to remember is that education is an investment, and we have to be measuring the outcomes of that investment. And again, one of the things I talked about earlier was we need to make sure that our kids are performing at actually their optimal level. And one of the experiences I had as my son went through the system is there are many kids out there who may excel in one area but find themselves at a deficit in another area. Sometimes that's reading and writing, which was my son's deficit area. What we do is we work with those kids early in preschool education. We work with them through grade school, make sure that they know how to learn and help them learn how to learn. And my son actually was an A student at seventh grade and graduated summa cum laude, even though he started in special education.
Thank you. And Ms. Reinbold, 15 seconds.
Okay, right now I feel like we do need education reform, and I think education is an incredible investment, and we have some incredible teachers. However, I think that focusing on our reading scores is critical, and that we need to, I'm very appreciative that we've adopted the Common Core standards, but I think we need to focus on improving our scores.
Thank you. Your second question, Ms. Randall.
Okay, my second question is, our state's budget is not sustainable according to ICER's research right now. And again, I'm going to ask you, what would you do to reduce the budget?
Well, one of the things I would do is make sure that when we take on huge projects that they are managed fiscally responsibly. And I think we need to look at projects such as the port, projects such as the prison that we just built out in the Matsu Valley, and make sure that we have a good fiscal note, we understand what the going forward operational costs are going to be, and we need to make sure that we are making wise investments that as we go forward we can afford the operational costs of those facilities. Alaskans are used to having a lot of money in the bank, but we have to make sure that we manage that wisely because it may not always be there for us in the future.
Ms. Reinbold.
Education and health and human services are our highest budgets right now, and I think those two budgets need to be looked at. Our revenues are going down in regards to our oil revenues. We're on a decline right now. And I think that that's a really important picture that we need to look at how to improve the revenue side by encouraging more development and more.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Ms. Goffner, your second question.
You've talked about, and I've seen your Alaska Family Council questionnaire, and one of the questions that was on there asked about vouchers in education, and that you answered that you believe in vouchers and giving money to private and religious schools, which would also require a change in our Constitution. So tell me how you believe that would improve education.
Okay. What research has shown is that school choice improves education. Last night, I ended up attending with Dr. Browder the meet and greet, the superintendent. And the superintendent stated that he helped reform Florida schools. And one of the major things that they did was let money follow the child. And that's basically what a voucher, it's school choice voucher, it's very, very important. And they've shown a dramatic improving in national scores in Florida. So the research clearly shows that when money follows the child, that it empowers the parents, it gives the students better choice, and it improves outcomes.
Ms. Goffner, 15 seconds.
Well, research did show originally that voucher programs improved education, but however, there's two studies, one by BYU and one by the Keystone Research Center, that both show that as they went back and evaluated those programs, that vouchers did not actually improve test scores or education, although parents were happier with the choice of schools for their children.
Thank you, Ms. Reinbold. Your third question in this segment.
Okay. My third question is, do you support right-to-work legislation?
Well, in Alaska right now, right to work is the law. So it's not a matter of whether right to work is not the law. We have a law that allows employees to vote to be a member of a union. And so, I'd have to say that right now as a legislator, I would support the law as we take that oath. Would I support right-to-work legislation? No, because I believe that employees have the right to unionize. They have they do that through a secret vote, and that once in that bargaining group, everybody from that bargaining group benefits from the what comes out of those negotiations. So to allow people not to join the union then would actually hurt the whole group as a whole as far as their ability to bargain.
Ms. Reinbold, 15 seconds.
Well, I believe with public employees that they absolutely should have freedom. They should have freedom to choose whether they want to or not to join a union. Currently, right now, they're forced to, and I don't think that's okay. So I think that we should keep that on the table. It needs to be discussed, and I definitely support freedom in public employees' choice.
Thank you. Ms. Goffner, your final question.
We've talked a lot about health care and your experience in health care, and so what do you believe? I mean, you've talked about health savings accounts. How do you believe health savings accounts will help those families who don't have income to put away into a health savings account?
Well, I think stimulating job growth is critical. Right now, a lot of people are dependent on the state. They're dependent on Denali KidCare. They're dependent. And I think that if we get students and invest in their education and provide more opportunities for work, then they'll have that. I support independence, not dependence, and anything the state can do to try to transition people off these programs and into better and higher paying jobs, that's what we need to be focused on.
Ms. Goffner, 15 seconds.
Well, having worked with the people in workforce development for the state, we have those programs in place now, and we are we do have the welfare-to-work programs, and we are a state now that is working to put people to work. But health savings accounts in themselves are good for people who are working and have the money to put away, but I don't believe are a way to really cut the cost of health care, which depends on claims dollars.
Let's go to our reporters, starting with Daisha Eden for Ms. Reinbold.
Ms. Reinbold, earlier you said that you do not support opening up the Constitution for amendments.
I do support opening up for amendments. I don't support the constitutional. I said I would vote no for the Constitutional Convention. I absolutely said I open it up to amendments.
Okay, so since you think it should be amended, do you think that public money should follow students, particularly to parochial schools? Many people say that would take a constitutional change.
And that we need to go to the people. It's not a decision I can make independently. Any amendments need to go to the people for the vote, and then we follow the vote. So it's the will of the people.
Ms. Goffner.
Again, I'm the daughter of an educator and was taught very early on that giving public monies to private schools is not the way to improve our public education system. And as a matter of fact, would hurt our public education system, would hurt our teachers, and make it much more difficult for us to have excellence in education. And I think the research bears that out. So as far as opening up the Constitution, I think, again, that's something that the legislature certainly can do. And my question is, would we actually go down and make that change and try and make that change to allow money to go to religious institutions? I firmly believe in the separation of church and state and would hate to see that changed.
Grace Jang.
This question is for Ms. Goffner. So do you think, this is a two-part question, do you think Alaska needs a Senate bipartisan coalition? Would you join one?
Well, I'm not running for the Senate, so I really can't answer the question of whether
I'm sorry. Would you join a bipartisan working group?
I plan to be a bipartisan and to work bipartisanly, because if I win, I will be working with Bill Stoltz, I will be working with Anna Fairclough, I will be working with Senator Dyson, who are all Republicans and represent, and I will be an active part and work well with the other parts of our team that represent Eagle River. I also have friends on the Senate side, people that I've known for years that I would be able to work with that are on the Democratic side. So whether it's a formal bipartisan coalition or whether it's just being a constructive member of the team and being able to work across the aisle, I don't have a problem with that. And I would think that's a requirement of anybody who represents Eagle River.
Ms. Reinbold, 30 seconds.
Well, currently I believe that the Senate coalition has created gridlock and many, many issues. So I'm alarmed at the lack of progress. The House did so much work, and then they would put it over the Senate, and so much got killed over there. So seeing what I've seen the last several years, I don't think that coalition has been effective. However, I believe all of us on every committee need to work with one another. All committees are a mix between Democrats and Republicans, and they're all also regional. So I think it's critical to be able to work on issues and get beyond politics and move the state forward.
Dasha Eaton for Ms. Goffner.
Ms. Goffner, in your statement to the voters, you talk extensively about the importance of family. What's the single most important thing you could do from Juneau to support families?
In my district, as I've been going door to door, one of the big issues that comes up is education. And I think making sure that our kids are getting an excellent education and are competitive on a global market, because so many of our employers are global employers, that is one of the best things we could do. Making sure that we have an excellent university system that really prepares these students to go out and compete with other applicants at a BP and a ConocoPhillips that have experience on a worldwide level is what we need to make sure our kids can do.
Ms. Reinbold.
Okay, can you repeat the question?
Just what's the single most important thing that you could do from Juneau for families?
For families. Okay, I think helping independence rather than dependence. I think strengthening the family is very, very important. Our economy is critical. They show that families do very, very well with a strong economy. Right now, with very high budgets and declining oil productions, I think we have some very tough decisions to make in the future. So strengthening Alaska's economy is absolutely number one.
Grace Jang, last question in this round from Ms. Reinbold.
Ms. Reinbold, Judge John Suttick recently upheld the lower court's decision, which essentially backs up what the voters had weighed on parental notification before a teen gets an abortion. What are your thoughts on that?
I was part of helping empower the parents. I don't believe that youth can make wise choices, and a lot of times they need a parent to hold their hand. And I know there's exceptions to that, but I absolutely support parental rights, and I definitely think that there needs to be notification to the parents before. If you can't get an aspirin, my goodness, why in the world should a student, you know, a 12-year-old student, be able to go get an abortion without their parents? A lot of times parents can provide excellent counseling. I know there's exceptions to that, but I think the law protects them.
Ms. Goffner.
Well, it's been decided by the court, so at this point to argue with that is not wise. But I do appreciate that Ms. Reinbold realizes that not all families are perfect families, and we do have children, unfortunately, in Alaska who don't have the benefit of having a functioning family. And I think that's something that we have to work on in our communities, and that state government in some ways can help through the health and social services Thank you.
Okay. let's go to Dasha Eaton for a final question for both of you, and it'll be 30 seconds each in response for each of you. Dasha Eaton.
Ms. Goffner, real quick, how would you have voted on Governor Parnell's oil tax bill?
Well, yeah, I would like to be able to just give you a yes or no answer to that, but of course, nothing's that easy in politics. And right now, I don't have the benefit of having been at those hearings, but I have listened to my constituents at the door, and I've had the opportunity to listen to people who are the managers of oil and oil companies, who are just, you know, citizens who have been through and been here for a long time. And what I'm finding is that there's definitely a conflict there, and we are responsible to get along with the oil companies. So I would say that I would need to do the research. I would want to ask tough questions. I would want to know what the advantages are.
Ms. Reinbold, 30 seconds.
Okay, I have done the research. I have watched the testimony. I listened to Pedro Van Meers. I've listened to PFC. I even have them on recording so I can go back and listen to the testimony that the coalition and the House had come in and review. We are not competitive right now in the state of Alaska. So if you look at the Commonwealth North information, it's very, very good. I'd highly recommend going on the Commonwealth website and looking at our regime. And right now, you know, our competitiveness, we're not competitive. So
yes or no on what?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Let's go to closing statements. Ms. Goffner, you will go first for 1 minute.
Thank you, and I want to thank the panel for the questions. They were certainly challenging, and my opponent for being here and providing certainly a good picture of the difference between the two of us. I think we have a very, that the voters in our district have a very clear choice of how they want to go forward as far as electing a representative to Juneau. Again, I'm running for office because I believe that Eagle River needs a representative who cares about all the families in Eagle River and who will help families both economically, make sure they have good jobs, excellence in education, and I'm sorry. But anyway, I've enjoyed being here. And again, if people want to know more about me, they can look at my website, www.electrobertag.net. And thanks Mike, for keeping us in line.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Reinbold, 1 minute.
Okay, my name is Laura Reinbold, and I'm running for State House in Eagle River. I care deeply about the future of this state. I've raised a family here, and I care deeply about their future. Right now, I'm very concerned about the high operating costs to run this state and the declining oil productions. Also, I'm concerned about health care and our high budgets in regards to health care and education right now. I would like to help implement a fiscal plan, and as a business major, I think I'm the right person to do that. Also, we're going to have to make some very tough choices. You need leaders. You need people that are willing to help make those and preserve the very, very important teachers that we have in the state, the educational system, and the fine health care. With my experience in health care, with my experience in education, and my expertise in resource development, I definitely believe I'm the right candidate to send to Juneau. So please look up my website, reinboldforalaska.com, and vote bold. Vote Laura Reinbold.
Thank you very much, Ms. Goffner, Ms. Reinbold. Next, we will meet the candidates for Senate District N. Stay with us.
My name is Josh Edge, web producer at alaskapublic.org. On election night, be sure to visit alaskapublic.org for comprehensive web coverage from reporters stationed throughout Alaska. You can also find podcasts for all of our election-related programs, from Debate for the State to Running to Talk of Alaska, and find links to voter resources and election results. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at APRN and like us on Facebook at alaskapublic.org.
Join KSKA on election night. Tuesday, November 6th, NPR coverage continues at 7 p.m., and statewide coverage from the Alaska Public Radio Network begins at 9 p.m. You're listening to Running on KSKA Anchorage. Now, here's Annie Feit to tell you about the ballot propositions.
There are two propositions on this year's election ballot. One asks voters whether the state should hold a convention to revise or amend the state constitution. It's required to be on the ballot every 10 years. The other is a bond proposition that would allow the state to borrow nearly $500 million for transportation-related projects around the state. The bond package was originally proposed by Governor Sean Parnell's administration, but the legislature ultimately crafted the package of 36 projects. Representative Bill Stoltz, a Republican from the Mat-Su Valley, did much of the work as co-chair of the House Finance Committee. He says bond propositions are a Democratic way to get infrastructure projects built.
Each time it's a different set of arguments to the electorate, and that's the beauty of the process. The voters have to embrace that as a good public policy idea. They have to embrace it as an appropriate expenditure and coming from the appropriate funding source. In this case, bond and indebtedness.
The bond proposition would fund port and harbor projects in Bristol Bay, Emonic, Haines, and other communities. Road construction projects would go forward in several places, including Anchorage, the Mat-Su Valley, and Sitka. Two of the most expensive items on the list are also the most controversial. $50 million would go to the Port of Anchorage expansion and $30 million to the Port McKenzie rail extension. Bob Shavelson is with the advocacy group Cook Inlet Keeper. He says the ongoing Port of Anchorage project has been fraught with problems from the beginning and calls the rail extension a boondoggle.
Really, the bond measure is a poison pill, and it's forcing Alaskans to swallow spending tens of millions of dollars on these dubious projects, all in the interest of getting some more worthy work done around the state.
The state points out that it's a good time to borrow money for big projects. Alaska's debt manager guesses the state can borrow the money at an interest rate of less than 3%. The total amount of the bond package is about $453 million. Historically, voters in the state have usually approved transportation bond packages. In Anchorage, I'm Annie Feit.
You're listening to Running on KSKA Anchorage, FM 91.1.